At Providence St. Joseph Health, we believe that health is a right. We also understand that health requires different actions. It requires commitment, it requires resources, it requires funding. But at the end of the day, health is a right for everyone. And it's part of our mission and part of our values that we help them achieve that. When we talk about providing health and well-being services to individuals, we are most definitely not talking about only limiting our services and solutions to a care facility or care provider. We're actually talking about treating the whole person. And that means that we have to basically look at how they live, what they need, what their resources are, and how they're able to access care. These are our complex patients, our complex populations. And when we talk about health for all, we mean health for all. It all ties in. It's one loop: people, community, resources.
Welcome to IdeaGen TV. Today we are thrilled to have with us BJ Moore from Providence. BJ, welcome.
Thanks, George. Fantastic to be here. Always appreciate you giving us the forum to share our message here at Providence. Quick introduction of myself for those of you that don't know me. I'm BJ Moore. I'm the Executive Vice President and Chief Information Officer here at Providence. Some quick facts about us here at Providence. We're one of the largest health systems here in the United States. We cared for the first COVID-19 patient in the United States back in January 2020. Our mission is to serve all, especially the poor and vulnerable. And we believe here at Providence, we're at the cornerstone of innovation and compassion. I've got two fantastic panelists here today with me. I'll go ahead and allow them to introduce themselves. Amy, can you introduce yourself first?
Sure. I'm Dr. Amy Compton Phillips. I am an internist by background and currently serving as the Chief Clinical Officer and President here at Providence. Over to you, Wasif.
Hello, I'm Wasif Rashid. I'm the EVP and the Chief Revenue and Growth Officer at Providence, working on our diversification agenda.
Excellent. Thanks, you guys, and welcome. Let's go ahead and just jump into the panel. I think we've got a great message to share. So I'll go ahead and kick off the first question. Amy, this is for you. Well, it's actually for both of you, but let's start with you, Amy. When you think of healthcare innovation being enabled by technology, what do you think of?
Well, I think of the future. I absolutely believe, and the reason that our panelists highlighted the power of AI is that the way healthcare is evolving right now, physicians, nurses, respiratory therapists, everybody are getting drowned with more and more and more data. And the only way we can actually use that data to cull through the volume, through the have some sense making in what's coming in at us, is to actually use data and technology to simplify and streamline. And the analogy I use all the time is we're living under a haystack, and that haystack is getting bigger, bigger, bigger. And we have to keep finding the same needles coming at us here in healthcare. And so that takes having partners like you, BJ, and you, Wasif, to help us that are actually, you know, out in front lines touching patients, figure out how to make sense of all the information coming in through our electronic medical records, our sensors, through the literature that's expanded at an ever-increasing rate. And I would say that our time during COVID, and if you want to get into details, our time during COVID, there's no way we would be coming down on the backside of a pandemic here in the spring of 2021. That just started 18 months ago, if we didn't actually leverage that power of AI, thinking about data, technology, and medical care coming together to solve a crisis of our time.
I think when we talked last week, you first shared the haystack analogy with me, and I pictured a haystack in a barn. And as you pointed out, clinicians are already overwhelmed in finding those needles, even if the haystack is only as big as a barn. In this advent of big data and genomics, I mean, that haystack now probably fills a stadium. And so those needles, like you said, are the same needles there, but now the haystack is overwhelming in size. And what I hear you say, it's really only through technology that we're going to really enable those clinicians access to those needles. Is that a fair summary?
That's exactly right. And the way I think about it is it's just hard. You know, back when I trained in medicine and I had all the information I needed in a paper chart sitting in my office, I had all the information in front of me, right? And even then, even with that paper chart, it would be easy to lose some information in the back of the chart.
Sure.
Well, it turns out now that that chart is the size of a barn, because that chart isn't just the information that I collected in my office with that individual, but everything they had at their hospital, everything they had at all the different specialists they see, everything they had with their prior doctors that now get linked in through electronic data exchanges, right? So they're, and oh, by the way, Fitbit and all the digital dust that we generate in the rest of our lives. And when patients come in, they expect me to have a sense of all that other information about them and figure out, oh yeah, you know, it was a decade ago that my thyroid test was abnormal with a different provider in a different neighborhood, right? Maybe a different state, maybe a different country, but I need to know that. And so the only way that can happen, that cannot happen with any one individual's brain culling through those reams of information. We need tools to help us, and we need tools to help us be able to practice medicine more easily, and we need tools so that patients get the care they need more easily. It really is together that we can simplify health.
Yeah, that's fantastic, Amy. Wasif, I'll ask you the same question. When you think of healthcare innovation being enabled by technology, what do you think of?
Yeah, BJ, just to maybe add on to what Amy has said, you know, medicine and healthcare is a science that's driven and relying on connected data to generate trends and correlation. You know, technologies like artificial intelligence and machine learning can help find trends, correlations, errors, insights, much more at a scale and speed previously unattainable. And just to kind of highlight a couple of examples, you know, we've been looking at sort of combining massive amounts of sort of patient records to identify candidates for new clinical trials that have just become available. You know, in reviewing medical bills that I think most of us who are listening find incredibly complicated with vast amount of paper going back and forth, we can use some of this insight to reduce friction in the processing and make the process more transparent and simple to the patient. You know, in analyzing procedures data or surgery data, we can determine which care teams, which medical devices and therapies increase outcomes and reduce risk to the patient. You know, technology-enabled clinical decision support has become the standard of care. You know, consider how we used to use an Excitopedia 30 years ago and a resource like Wikipedia today. You know, we don't expect everyone to commit ever-increasing volumes of information to memory. Instead, we teach and aim to develop the ability to think critically and have tools and capabilities to access the right information and approaches at the right time. You know, technology has changed and is changing the nature of how we conduct healthcare, but still it requires the clinician and the patient to have a direct relationship at the center of the equation.
Wasif, I know you work down the hall from me, and so we get a chat in the hallway all together, and I know you're really excited about the Truveta partnership that was announced a couple months ago. What makes you excited about that partnership, and how do you think it helps with health equity?
Sure. You know, Truveta has a statistically significant view into all healthcare data.
Real quick, maybe explain what it is first, Wasif, for our listeners that maybe don't know what Truveta is.
Now, Truveta is a data collaborative where providers of the largest health systems in the U.S. have come together, representing roughly 14% of healthcare data within the U.S. What Truveta aims to do is pool de-identified data into a statistically significant healthcare data view where we could build a platform to both analyze and compare data across multiple health systems. You know, this scale has never been built before. We're excited at the opportunity that having data at scale could unlock lots of innovation. And to use the tagline that Truveta uses, we're able to save lives with data. You know, in terms of healthcare equity, you know, we've already identified huge inequity in the data that we've already seen. You know, we have Black children that have 500% higher death rates from asthma. And during COVID, a third of the nurses that have died are Filipino. However, they only represent 4% of the nursing population. There are so many more questions on health equity that a platform like Truveta can help expose and then eventually shine the light and resolve some of these systemic issues.
Amy, you've been heavily involved in Truveta as well. From a clinical perspective, what makes you excited about that partnership?
Well, again, more data means more answers. So, and I think I immediately go to the less common conditions. So for example, you know, we know a lot about the epidemiology and the risk factors for heart disease because so many people have heart disease. A lot less people have multiple sclerosis. So why is it that people with multiple sclerosis are people are much more likely to get multiple sclerosis living in northern climates? And what association is there with viral infections or perhaps somebody's genome or other kinds of socio-demographic factors? And so we can start teasing apart what are those associations and what are those causations. And then when you start getting into things like genomics, the more information we get about the genome, the more discrete information we understand and we are able to see. And that means we need to start making more and more discrete kinds of associations. And you need huge data to be able to do that. So that if you have a gene that there's only, I don't know, 10,000 people in the US that have, of which we have 14% of those 10,000 people in our database, we can actually get sufficient sample size to start asking folks if they want to participate in research or to start understanding the correlations that associate that gene with disease. So it really does open up a much brighter future for us to understand how to start impacting people's lives better.
And, you know, 14%, you know, it doesn't sound like a huge percent, and it's certainly growing. But what impresses me with that 14% is the diversity of populations, right? We've got Alaska, we've got Hawaii, almost all the states in the United States represented, urban populations, rural populations. So diversity of that data set, I think, really will help with those insights that you talked about, Amy. So let me go ahead and move on to the next question. Amy, again, I'll start with you. Providence is at the intersection of innovation and compassion. Amy, you are the chief clinical officer here at Providence. Tell us how innovation is enabling caregivers to provide better care to our patients.
Again, healthcare is really, really complicated. Really complicated, right? And trying to figure out what the right thing to do is hard. And what technology can do is start simplifying that and actually putting the care back in healthcare. So I think about, for example, let's use COVID as an example, since that's fresh and top of mind still for lots of folks. But during COVID, when we started getting ramping up the number of people who it was clear back in the spring of 2020, we sat down and said, okay, this is not 1918. This is 2020. We have different tools. We have different technology today. How can we help provide people care if they Google on, do I have COVID? And we sat down and thought through the workflow of how do we leverage technology to be able to make care better, make care more compassionate for people. And that included everything from going through an algorithm, building a chat bot to help people understand so they didn't have to hang on the phone, but they could actually click on a video visit and allow for that to happen. If they needed a test, we could connect them quickly and easily with a testing center. And then if they did test positive and we were a little bit worried about them, but they didn't want to get admitted to the hospital or didn't seem bad enough to get admitted to the hospital, because if you recall, getting admitted to the hospital meant you were separated from your family. Well, we actually set up a COVID at home program so that we could actually monitor patients in their home with a pulse ox and a thermometer and regular check-ins by nurses so that people could be confident and comfortable getting care at home. And that is totally enabled by technology for providing care in a much more compassionate, much more minimally disruptive way for the people who received that care. And by the way, BJ, we've done that over 18,000 times now. So over 18,000 people were able to get care supported by technology in a much more compassionate way.
And I love how you state, you know, it wasn't 1918. We shouldn't use the same processes and systems and tools that we would have used back then. And you know, back in the spring, we were worried about ICU beds, right? And, you know, I should have mentioned in my introduction, I'm also responsible for real estate and facilities. And so, you know, there was no opportunity to build new hospital beds, right? And so instead, we virtually increased those either through telehealth or through the remote care. So just a great example of how we use technology to be applied to, you know, a problem in a unique and then scalable way. So Wasif, I'm going to switch to you. You're the Chief Revenue and Growth Officer here at Providence. Tell us more about the work we are doing in partnerships and business building to integrate technology while growing and diversifying revenue. How does the strategy of the business businesses fit into Providence's overall strategy and mission?
Sure, BJ, and I'll highlight sort of a couple of things. You know, one of the things that we've been sort of focusing on is this sort of platform for personalizing medicine using data and technology to broaden delivery of care and streamline the patient experience. You know, investing in technologies to enable caregivers to have information at their fingertips and collaborations with organizations like Microsoft and some of the work that your team has been doing around bringing data and insights at the time of care. You know, we have multiple ways of sort of enabling this. You know, we've entered into partnerships with organizations such as Grail that will bring to our patients the latest clinical advances and therapies. Integria, which is a health and services organization we have launched, we have multiple efforts to help personalize the experience for caregivers and consumers. The solutions provided by Quivic helps our caregivers develop more modern clinical practices and to do so in a manner that protects patients' data through blockchain solutions provided by Lumetic. As a part of Truveta that I previously mentioned, we're also working to provide access across the systems to protect our data, de-identify it, and to foster research insights around increasingly specific cohorts and some of the rare disease conditions Amy highlighted earlier. Second, you know, created by one of the largest health systems, both Truveta and Integria merges some of the greatest technical talent in the industry with some of the clinical talent that exists broadly across our health system. So we're able to pair up very talented researchers and clinicians in Dr. Compton Phillips' organization with some of the technical talent that we've brought together with Truveta and Integria. And, you know, finally, the work that we're doing helps enable and brings to life our Providence's mission of serving the poor and vulnerable, as well as the imperative of creating health equity. It gets to the motivation that draws so many of us outside of healthcare into healthcare, and that's the ability to make a difference in a meaningful way to some of the most vulnerable moments in people's lives. You know, we've already spoken a little bit how Truveta is democratizing care so that any small regional system can have access to insights that leapfrog the sophisticated clinical insights of the largest health systems. Truveta also supports patients who benefit from data and intelligence that informs better care and therapies. You know, Integria is committed to bringing the best-in-class technologies and health solutions that have been pioneered by large health systems like Providence and some of the work that your team has been doing to some of the smaller community hospitals, which don't necessarily have the resources.
Yeah, and Amy, I'm gonna put you on the spot. I apologize. I really wanna play off of what Wasif said. I mean, that's the title of this is The Power of And. And we talked last week. The two communities have kind of gone it alone, and we believe it's a different approach, right? Historically, it's been healthcare systems, obviously evolving health, which is our primary role, and tech companies have had kind of forays into healthcare over the past decade, and frankly, haven't had success. And really, it's the power of and. We believe it's the two of them together. Do you mind kind of sharing your insights on that, how this approach is different than maybe the failed processes in the past?
Yeah, you know, I think you're 100% right. You just said it, that going it alone, that it takes real hubris to think that we're healthcare, ergo we know everything about technology, and we're going to out Microsoft, and out Amazon, and out Apple. Like, that, of course we're not going to, right, in healthcare. At the same time, I don't think that those tech companies can out healthcare. That there actually is knowledge. And one of the reasons why we think that healthcare has been slower to the party with being able to get the same kinds of productivity and innovation and service gains in healthcare is because it is an incredibly complex industry, not only because of the payment mechanisms and because of regulation, because it's inherently really, really complicated. And that for any one industry to be able to go it alone, they're going to be less successful than taking the thinkers and the leaders and the doers of that industry and putting them in the same room and getting that kind of cross collaboration. We know that when we have individuals with different backgrounds, highly diverse backgrounds, it's another argument, by the way, for diversity and inclusion, is that when we bring people with these diverse backgrounds that are allowed to bring their gifts to the table, that we actually can succeed at that innovation at that intersection of innovation and compassion that we want to, of how we simplify, streamline, and make great health a right, not a privilege. Because we're not ever going to be able to solve for health for all, health for a better world, including those that are poor and vulnerable, unless we can make it more affordable, accessible, and available for all, which takes that intersection of technology and healthcare working together.
Thanks, Amy. So last question, bit pie in the sky. Let's really think outside of the box here, totally unscripted. So you're both leaders in your respective fields. What are you most excited about in the years to come? And a couple ideas, you know, could be quantum computing, obviously advancements in artificial intelligence. So Wasif, I'll start with you, and then Amy, we'll end with you with your pie in the sky of how tech can change healthcare.
Yeah, BJ, just thinking a little bit broadly around what we sort of think about maybe in the next sort of 5 to 10 years, and I think you brought up quantum computing. And the power and scale of quantum computing in areas like genomics and personalized medicine is absolutely sort of mind-boggling. You know, we think about the compute power required to do a whole genome sequence and to be able to identify and match disease conditions or therapy to that. Currently, this is a problem that exists over multiple days and multiple weeks to help identify. I think quantum computing can fundamentally change that for us and think about how we can develop much more precision medicine solutions at the time of care.
Yeah, and my sense of the power of quantum computing, if it's taking weeks or months to crunch that data, it could be done in seconds with quantum computing. Is that kind of the expectation as well? So,
yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Amy, last comments coming from you. I know you're not going to disappoint us.
Yeah, I might. So, you know, when I think about it, you know, again, you've got a tech person and a healthcare person, so, you know, lots of things about quantum computing. I think about the expansion of wellness and the compression of disease. And the reason why is that if we have sufficient information and we know your genome and we know your life circumstances, that we can actually get to the point that we're doing personalized health coaching in a way, and this is very personalized medicine, to say, hey, you know, Amy, those, you know, the choice you're making at the grocery store right now, you might want to choose this, not that, because that's going to help you live longer, live healthier, and you're not going to have strokes, and you're not going to have heart attacks, and you're not going to have MS, and you're not going to have those things that take away the joy of life for so many as we age. If we can do that, imagine yourself living incredibly fit and well mentally, physically, till you're 100, and then have a very short window of poor health and before you pass away, right? And it's that continuation of healthy lives that we think is the future, that people live well, live long. And that way we minimize the impact on society and on families of dwindling towards the twilight of life. And that's what we really want to do, is optimize what everybody has so that we can live our best and fullest life.
Yeah, that personalized medicine can really only be done at scale through technology. Great, great summation.
It can only be done through technology, right? There's no way we can do that individually in real time at that coaching level. So that is where technology and healthcare really are going to play out ideally together.
And you just described the power of and. Thank you, Amy. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Wasif. Great discussion today, and really appreciate you guys joining me for today's Power Chat. Thank you.
Thanks, BJ.